All right, back to Ephesians chapter 2. Good to see you back with us. We're going to continue where we left off this morning. We just got the first point this morning. And we're in chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. And verse 18 be our last. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, you might wonder here what this is all talking about. What this is talking about is the Jews and the Gentiles coming together as one. And Jesus, having broken down the middle wall partition between us, everything that separated us for their ordinances and whatever the Gentiles were believing at the time, but through Christ, we're all saved the very same way. We're all one in Christ. There is no difference between the two. So he says in verse 13, that's where we were. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then he says, but now in Christ Jesus, he's talking about now that you've been saved. You were totally depraved. You were belonging to Satan. You were his properties. You were walking according to the powers of the air. You were doing those things. But now you're not. You're saved. And it don't matter who you are or what you are, you're saved the very same way. People are not saved different ways. There are not different ways to be saved. There's only one way. And that way is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. Amen. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is a part of salvation. Salvation is totally in Jesus Christ. And that's what God tells us there in verse 13, where it says we were made nigh by the blood of Christ, both to each other and to God. We're made nigh by the same blood. The only thing really matters is that we are Christians, is that we are born again, and we are children of God. What we believe, I'm not going to say it's irrelevant, it's very relevant. It's very much a necessity in the Christian's life to study and to learn the truth of God's Word. And for people not to be discounting God's Word as though it's irrelevant. We have a sovereign God. He elected us before the foundation of the world. In time, he revealed his Son to us, and we were saved. Those are the facts of the Bible. But what we have to look at is if someone is a child of God, it is our responsibility as Christians to love that person. Not to build walls between us. Amen. Not to put fences between us. And don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about speaking in this pulpit. Speaking in this pulpit, you're going to have to believe like we do. You're not going to speak here. But what I'm talking about is Christian with Christian, believer with believer. So he goes on, and our second point, in verse 13, it says, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together. That's what brings us into the fold. That's what causes us to be the child of God. That's what causes us to be Christians. It's the blood of Christ. He uses the words far off. It means far. A great way off. John Gill said, and this is kind of long, but I'm going to read it. A far off. Who, in their state of unregeneration, were afar off from God and from His law and from any spiritual knowledge of Him and fellowship with Him and from Jesus Christ and from the knowledge of His righteousness and the way of salvation by Him and from the Spirit and from any acquaintance with the things of the Spirit, and from the mind, and from minding them, and from walking after them, and from the saints, and from the people of God, and from any love to them, and from walking after Him, from any love to them and any communion with them and from any solid hope of happiness or real peace and comfort, which distance was owning both the sins of Adam and their own sins. That's how far off we were. Lost people don't love Christians. Lost people have nothing in common with Christians. It saddens me when Christians want to make lost people their best friends. Anytime a Christian deals with lost people, they're dealing with people that don't know Christ. They're dealing with people that don't know God. They're dealing with people that don't know the Bible. They're not going to be any advantage in your life to your life. I have a lot of friends from this world, but I don't deal with them personally. I don't have personal relationships with them. I keep a distance from them. I try to draw nigh unto Christians because that's what God wants us to do. Brother Oscar Mink said, prior to being saved, the Ephesians were far off, and the far off state was one of total depravity. They have no relationship with God. They do nothing for God. They do nothing to advantage God. They do nothing to advantage the Bible. They do nothing to advantage Christ. They have nothing in common with anything God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or holy. Most people are what's wrong with Christianity in the world today. They have made a mockery of it. They have insulted the Word of God and insulted God. God said in 1 John, they have made Him a liar. If they deny the truth about Jesus Christ and salvation. Acts chapter 2, if you will. In verse 12, here in Ephesians 2, the Lord defines it the best. He says that at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, he says, now when ye heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. What shall we do, Peter? Peter said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the hope. That's the blessings. That's the salvation. It's to repent, to believe on Jesus. You have to become a new person. Inside, you become a new person. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Isaiah 55. If a person is afar off, they need to come close. They need to come close. They need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be near Christ. Be near to God. But to be near to God, your sins must be forgiven. They have to be washed away. The blood of Jesus must have cleansed them. And that's not going to be until a person repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins must be forgiven. This is one of the greatest invitation passages of Scripture, I believe, in the Bible. Is in Isaiah 55, verse 1. He starts out with, ho, everyone that thirst. Now, what is a thirst? It's a desire for something, isn't it? If you thirst, you have a desire for water. If you thirst, you have a desire for food. Same thing as hunger. If you want something, you thirst for it. You hunger for it. And that's what he's talking about. There must be a hunger within your soul. You must be wanting something. And if you do, the Lord says, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine, milk without money and without price. You don't need anything, folks. You come naked before the Lord. You bring nothing with you. What you had before the day you were saved, God don't want it. Just like he wants nothing of this world. He's going to burn it. He's going to melt the earth with fervent heat. He does not want it. He don't want your knowledge. If you have wisdom, if you have knowledge, he will dumb you down and then teach you the proper doctrine, the proper things. He says in verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Come, and sure, even the sure mercies of David, the Lord says. Come! Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need your works. You don't need anything. You just need a thirst. You need a desire to be saved. You need a desire to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need nothing, folks. People tell me, you know, I'm just too big of a sinner to go to church. That's nothing but an excuse. I was a sinner before I was saved too, and still am. But I was an unregenerated sinner then. I am a regenerated sinner now. all my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. You do not have to be afar off. You can be a child of God. Verse 14, back in our text. And then we're going to Romans 8 after we read part of 14 here. In verse 14 of Ephesians 2, he said, "He is our peace, who hath made both Gentiles and Jews one, and hath broken down the mother wall partitions between us." God hath broken down the separation. If you read the Word of God in the Gospel, you will find, like John 3:16, doesn't say God loves everyone in the world, but it does say that God loves different people in the world. He did not just love Jews. God also loved Gentiles. He said in John 10 that he has sheep that's not of that fold, but he's going to bring them in. And what do we do when he brings the Gentiles in? We are one. One, folks. That's what we are. Always remember that in your Christian dealings with other Christians. We are one. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one cries, we all cry. When one is happy, we're all happy. Lord never told us to put up barriers and fences around us. God calls them that are far off. We were far off too. But God gave us a thirst, didn't he? And when we had that thirst, we came to the waters of life, didn't we? Jesus told a woman at the well, he said, "I'll give you waters of life, everlasting life." He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." That's what it is, folks. That's all it is. It's death. You're dead spiritually now. You'll be dead when you die. And you'll be dead when you are in the kingdom of hell. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what you have as believers. That's what you have as Christians. You have life and peace. He don't say from this world. Millions of Christians have died, slaughtered by the people of this world, most of them by the Catholic Church. People that are Christians wake up wondering where they'll get the next meal, and some others have more money than they can spend in a lifetime. But we all have peace, don't we? And we all have life in Christ. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And anything they do, they can live all the way they want to. They can go out and do all the works they want to. They can be baptized 100 times over. They can say 1,000,000 Hail Marys. They can do whatever they do. They can join 50 churches. They can give all their belongings to a church, even to this church. And it will do them no good. We cannot save them. We cannot change them. If there's never been a thirst in their life, if they've never had a thirst, they will never come to Jesus Christ. And if they never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, they will die and go to hell. The Lord said, "For he," Christ Jesus, "is our peace." Our peace with God. our peace with this world, our peace with each other. And we ought to be at peace. Understanding God and the workings of God, the ordained will of God, the predetermined plan of God. And you can't understand these things if you don't understand what they mean. And it's hard to have peace in the world if you don't know who God is. The first thing every Christian ought to do is seek to find out who the Lord is. But Jesus Christ is our peace with God. He's our peace with each other. This is a very large word, this word peace. Because through Jesus Christ and the salvation he gives, we are at peace. Romans 5, if you will. In Romans chapter 5, part of the first of the eight benefits of salvation here in Romans 5 is peace. We are at peace with God. While in the lost state, we were enemies with God, and Christians, we are at peace with God, delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1 of Romans 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where peace comes from. That's why we have peace in this life. And we do have peace. We have peace in this life because we know that no matter what happens in this world, God's in control. Amen. John 17, if you will. We have peace with each other here on this earth as children of God. We have peace with each other. The Lord meant for Christians to care for other Christians. He meant for Christians to help other Christians. He meant for churches to help other churches. He meant for us to be one in this world no matter what part we're in. No matter what we come from, no matter if we're Jews or Gentiles, Russians or Americans, Japanese or Russians, it don't matter who we are or what we are in this world. Amen. Only thing that matters to us as Christians is who we are in Christ Jesus. And who are we in Christ Jesus? Oh, we're the children of God, aren't we? So that makes every saved man and woman, my brother or sister in Christ. I cannot hate them. Lord says in 1 John, if you hate your brother, then you cannot love God. We cannot deny them. Separate the pulpit. You know, people use sometimes their churches and say, well, they're Armenian, we're Sovereign Grace. If they're saved, you must treat them like a brother or sister in Christ. Don't mean you have to accept what they believe, but if someone tells you they're a Christian, you must accept them. We do not have biblical walls built around us. I think sometimes a lot of Christians try to separate themselves from others. Tell you what, folks, if we do that, we're going to live in an awful lonely place. In John 17, verse 11, the Lord said, and now I am no more in the world. Listen, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Who has God gave to Jesus? Every one of the elect of God. Every one who's been saved. That they may be one as we are. Amen. There's no walls or fences built around God. I know they're one. I know they believe the same. I know that all Christians don't. We don't all believe the same about everything in this church, among the membership. But we're Christians, aren't we? We deal with it, don't we? That they all may be one. Verse 21. I'm sorry, I dropped down to verse 21. I went from 11:21, I forgot to tell you. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and in them, and thou in me, that they may be made complete. Perfect means complete, in one, that is, in Christ. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou loved me, as thou hast loved me. That's what it's about, folks, loving the Lord. Amen. Loving our Savior who gave his life for us, who delivered us from Satan and his power into Jesus and his power to keep us as believers. People have no peace with God without Jesus. There is none. They think they have some peace in this world. They don't. There is no peace in this world for a lost state. There's only peace anywhere if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mankind cannot have peace among themselves without Jesus Christ. It simply is not possible. Go back to our text now. I'm trying to hurry to get done with this. He said in verse 14 of our text back in Ephesians 2, for he is our peace. And then he goes on with the next statement, who hath made both one. Most people think that's talking about God and Jesus, or God and us, but it's not. It's talking about us together, us as Christians, as believers. Look at it, read it, and you'll find out. Again, God is speaking to us with each other in mind here. Go to John 10, if you will. John chapter 10. But you read this in context, you'll find out that the Lord's speaking to us, Jews and Gentiles, the ones who separate themselves on this earth, coming together as one in Christ Jesus, breaking down all the walls between us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 6, and other sheep I have outside of this Jew fold, I have other sheep, Gentiles, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and listen, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Only one, folks. Ezekiel 37. Go to Ezekiel 37. Only one fold. We all have one Savior. You know, the most important thing in your life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you start learning the scriptures. And God will bless you with a measure of grace, as he talks about in Romans. He will give you the measure of grace that he chooses to give you to believe the truth. I have never in my lifetime found anybody that is infallible on this earth and the Word of God. Outside of Jesus Christ. I love men that talk the Word of God, still do. I have high respect for men that I know in this world that are pastors and those that are Christians and the women. And I have high praise to them for their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. I can sit to these men's feet. I can listen to them preach over and over and over and over, knowing sometimes I'm going to disagree with them. We are none infallible. Ezekiel 37, verse 22. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. With one king shall be the king unto them all, and they shall be made no more two nations. Neither shall they divide into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. That's who we are, folks. We're God's people. We're God's people that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be His. We are one people. And in Israel, we are one nation, branched into the tree of Abraham. Christians need to stop the division. God never told believers to divide from one another. Did He? I can't find it in my Bible. And I get tired of the old preachers using this, come out from among them, be ye separate. He's not talking about Christians. He's not talking about black and white. He's not talking about Russian and Americans. He's talking about the lost and the saved. Come out from among them. You are separate. Be separate. Stand up and be what God hath made you. God hasn't divided us from each other. Christ hasn't divided us from each other. If you are not infallible, then you are no different than the other people. You may be a little more blessed in the learning of the word, blessed to be in the church that God has put you in, but you are no different than anybody else that are saved. We are all saved by the same Savior, by the same blood. We are all forgiven. We are all taught by the same Holy Spirit, and we are all one in Christ. All of us. Matthew 10. I'm sorry, Luke 2, then Matthew 10. I'm almost done. But look here, folks. We are so blessed. We are blessed because we are at peace with God. Aren't we? Aren't you at peace with God? Sure you are. Let's be at peace with each other. We are at peace with God in Christ. So we ought to be with each other. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, he says, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The birth of Jesus brought peace to the world. I don't mean there's going to be peace on the earth. Jesus brought something to the world it lacked, and that was peace. And he brought goodwill to the believers. He did not come to bring peace to the entire world, but to those who believe on him, to those who would follow him. Matthew chapter 10, if you will. Listen closely. For all those Christmas folks out there, it talks about world peace and goodwill toward man. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants. You need to read this scripture. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Without Christ, there is no peace. None. Jesus Christ did not bring peace to this world. He brought peace to those whom God chose before the foundation of the world and manifested in time and brought to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is only possible in the Lord Jesus Christ, with God and among each other. You know what people will do? Lost people, they will eat each other. What I mean by that is they will do anything they have to survive. If you've got a best friend you work with, they'll cut your throat to get a promotion over you. Don't put faith in people that are not saved. They can't put faith in each other. And we as Christians certainly can have no faith in them. Don't even try. It's not possible. Now let's go to the last part of verse 12 and finish this. I have three passages of scriptures, but only in two different books. We'll be in 1 Timothy 2 and Galatians 3. It says, and he hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. And it's between the Jews and the Gentiles. If we are all one in Christ, then how can we build walls or barriers separating ourselves? And he's not talking about on the Mexico-Texas border. He's talking about among the believers and churches. It is incumbent upon believers to love other believers. I know doctrine is a major thing. But when Christians look for ways of separation, they'll find that separated wall. And they'll build a wall between them and someone else. There's no wall between us and God. Jesus broke that wall down, didn't he? And there's no wall between us and each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he says, for there is one God. How many gods are there? There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and man. What? How many mediators? One between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all of us. Every one of the elect of God. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for them. To be testified in due time. Jesus Christ broke down the wall between us and God of sin. Because he paid for it at Calvary. But he also broke down the wall that partitions us and the Gentiles, us and the Jews, and us and each other. Galatians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. No, he's a mediator of all of us. And we only serve one God, one Savior. We only have one Spirit that teaches us all, that deals with each and every one of us as God has, according to Ephesians 2:10, as God has ordained before the foundation of the world. And that's the reason Paul said, I am all I am by the grace of God. Amen. I've not earned any of it. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That is, Jew nor Gentile. Neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, or if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. No difference. None, folks. There's no difference. The difference is only what God hath made us and where God hath put us. I understand doctrinal difference. I've said that before. But I'm talking about Christian and Christians here. Next week, we will pick up with verse 15, I believe it is, and move on through this chapter. Praise the Lord.